Yes, my name is Will Hopkins. I'm the youth pastor here, and I get the privilege to work with our junior high and high school students. It's such an awesome thing, and so thanks for having me this morning. So I want to start off by asking a question. Why are you here? Like, no, seriously, why are you here this morning? Maybe because it's a Sunday. Maybe because your spouse wanted you to be here, or maybe because your kids are involved, or maybe because you serve here. Maybe that's just what you do. Maybe it's because you're looking for God. Maybe it's because you need something this morning. But let me ask you a deeper question. What are you hoping to find? Peace? Direction? Forgiveness, maybe it's hope, maybe a meaning or a fresh start, or maybe it's connection. Maybe that's why we're here. What about this? Have you ever opened the refrigerator? Right, you were wondering why this was here all morning. Have you ever stood there for 30 seconds, right, and you're like, I want something. Just don't know what. My kids do this all the time, and trust me, right, longer than 30 seconds. And but imagine it's you, right? And you're like, I don't know. And then you close it, and you're like, ah. And like 5 minutes later, you walk back. You're like, something magically appeared that wasn't there before, of course. And you're looking, and you're like, I want something. I just don't know what. And that's true than more than just food. That's true about our lives. I want something. I just don't know what. So imagine this, you're cleaning out your attic one day and you find an old lamp and you pick it up and you rub it and poof, suddenly a genie appears, right? And you get three wishes. What would your three wishes be? Maybe more money, maybe great health, maybe a better house, maybe that dream vacation or a better job. Or maybe it's like my kids turn out great. I just want my kids to turn out great. Or that perfect relationship, or freedom from stress, or great success in life. Or maybe ask for something completely different. But here's the question I really want to ask. If you walked into your living room tonight, and instead of a genie, Jesus was sitting on your couch, and he looked at you, and he said, what do you want? What do you want? Would your answer be the same? Would you ask Jesus for the same three things? Jesus, would you realize that he's not really asking what would make our life easier? He's asking something much more deeper. He's asking, what are you looking for? Today, we're finishing our series on questions Jesus asked. And in a moment, we'll get to the book of John, chapter 1, where the writer John tells us about two men who began following Jesus, and Jesus turns around and looks at them and says, what do you want? What are you really seeking? A question Jesus will ask me, a question he'll ask you, a question he asks everyone. There was a 60-minute interview with Tom Brady, who played for quarterback for the Patriots and later with the Buccaneers, but he had just won his third Super Bowl, right? His third Super Bowl, and he was working through what he really wanted in life, and I didn't get the YouTube clip. I got an image with the audio, so you're gonna have to listen in, but listen to what he says. Here we go.
Why do I have three Super Bowl rings and still think there's something greater out there for me? I mean, maybe a lot of people would say, hey, man, this is what it is. I reached my goal, my dream, my life is me. I thank God. It's got to be more than this. I mean, this can't be what it's all cracked up to be. I mean, I've done it. I'm 27. And what else is there for me?
What's the answer?
I wish I knew. I wish I knew. I mean, I think that's part of me trying to go out and experience other things, but there's a I love playing football and I love being the quarterback for this team. But at the same time, I think there's a lot of other parts about me that I'm trying to find and different ways of expression, being around. I know what ultimately makes me happy are family and friends and positive relationships with great people. And I think I get more out of that than anything.
At age 27, Tom had accomplished more than what others only dreamed to have achieved, right? I mean, he was the top of his field. He was rings, the Super Bowls, the fame, the money. He had everything. See, Tom got what he wanted, but did he get what would truly satisfy? We spend our lives answering Jesus' question by chasing. Maybe you're looking for a career that will finally make you feel significant. Maybe you're looking for a group of friends that will make you feel like you belong. Or maybe you're looking for someone to finally convince you you're worth loving. Maybe you're looking for something that will finally quiet that fear inside of you. Maybe you're looking for something that will finally make you say, now I'm enough. And here's the thing. We spend our lives answering Jesus' question without realizing we're answering it. Every decision we make, every dollar we spend, every relationship we pursue, every achievement we chase, it's telling a story about what we believe will truly satisfy. Because what you want reveals what you believe will satisfy you. And that's why Jesus' question is so important. What do you want is really exposing what we're seeking. So let's go back to the place where Jesus actually asked this question. Let's jump right in. It says this. In John chapter 1, 35, it says, the next day, John the Baptist was there again with his two disciples. John the Baptist, his job was to prepare people for Jesus. And he wasn't the one who wrote the book of John, but earlier in the chapter, John the Baptist has previously been at this spot before, and he saw Jesus. And it says he went back and he brought friends. I encourage you, go back to where you found Jesus. Go back to where you found Jesus. And better yet, bring some friends. John the Baptist brought his friends, his disciples, who had previously saw Jesus, and him and his friends were not disappointed. And it says, Jesus came walking by. In verse 36, it says, When he saw Jesus passing by, he said, look, the Lamb of God. Jesus was looking for Jesus. And at the spot that he saw him before, and he pointed out to his friends, hey, look, there's Jesus. It says Jesus was passing by. Makes me wonder, where's Jesus passing by in my life? Where's Jesus passing by in your life? Am I looking? Or do I get distracted? I get distracted by screens or social media or work pressures or busyness or the pursuit of money or things. Maybe I get distracted by the comparison of me and others. John the Baptist has been preaching about Jesus, and when he saw him, he pointed Jesus and said, look. John the Baptist's job was to tell his friends, don't follow me, follow him. You see, John had spent his ministry gathering disciples, but when Jesus arrives, he shows them Jesus. He doesn't say, hey, come stay with me. Don't leave. I've invested a lot in you. No, he points him to Jesus and says, there he is. And that's our calling too, to point to Jesus. Parents, our job is to point our children to Jesus. Now, as pastors, our job isn't to make people dependent on us. As small group leaders or youth leaders or mentors, we are not the destination. What about the leaders that we look to or we follow? Are their hearts after Jesus? Do they point to Jesus? As followers of Jesus, we are supposed to point people to Jesus. I'm just fascinated by John the Baptist's humility as he continues to point to Jesus. My wife had asked me, why are you so passionate about that, Will? Like, what brings out the passion? And I said to her, well, being in youth ministry for 25 years, my passion has been pointing our younger generation to Jesus. My strategy is to invite students into a place that's fun, exciting, and welcoming, relational, a place where I can build up leaders to build strong relationships with core students and their friends. Our leaders work hard to build the trust that it takes to walk with students, to make our students feel loved and known and valued. But the big question is this, right? How do you break down walls from the very beginning with teenagers? How do you break down these walls? Games. Lots of games. Really? No, seriously, like games. Like, it's like junior high campus, game, 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 game. Talk about Jesus. Game, 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 game. Really, it is. It's a lot of games, but it is a lot of time. It's a lot of questions. It's a lot of listening. It's a lot of paying attention, right? But I want you to hear this, all right? You guys are here today. Normally, they're in the other room, second service, so we get to have them today. But I want you to hear this. You want to know the truth? I mean, you want to know really the truth? I mean, dodgeball, awesome event. Love it. Let's do it again, right? Human battleship, we did it. It was great. You're like, let's do it again, right? Big world's largest ice cream sundae. It was a couple years ago, so you guys haven't experienced it. But hey, maybe on the, you know, we might do it in the future. Those are all fun events. But the truth is, as your friend, deep down, we want you to desperately know the creator of the universe and how much he loves you. Our ultimate goal is to move out of the way and say, hey, look, there's Jesus. Follow him. He is the one we have been waiting for. I never want to miss an opportunity to point our youth toward Jesus. And like John the Baptist is presenting his friends to Jesus, he's saying, you're prepared, now go. We have a lot to learn from John the Baptist who pointed people to Jesus. Let's move on. In verse 37, it says, when the two disciples heard him say this, they followed Jesus. When they heard, right, they started following Jesus. When they heard and understood what John was saying about Jesus, they started following Jesus. Now, was it on their own? Did they feel this nudge from the Holy Spirit? I don't know, but they took the step, and that was pretty amazing. And then it goes on to say, turning around, Jesus saw them following and asked, what do you want? And here are the first words recorded from Jesus in the Gospel of John. And when he does speak, he speaks the most simplest, most profound question a person can ever be asked. What are you looking for? Jesus asked what you want because he wants you to discover what you really are seeking. And as I was preparing for this message, I came across a writing from the speaker, Frederick Dale Bruner. He talked about the first question in John is similar to the first question asked in the Old Testament, which is equally as searching. The question came right after Adam and Eve had just sinned, disobeying God by eating from the tree in the garden, you know, the one he said not to. And here's the setting. Genesis chapter 3 says, the man and his wife heard the sound of the Lord. And as he was walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and they, Adam and Eve, hid from the Lord God among the trees of the garden. But the Lord called out to man, where are you? This divine question echoes throughout Scripture. Scripture points us to this divine human question. Where are you? You see, humans separated themselves from God, but God did not separate himself from humans. He searched for them. And God did not attack these hiding sinners in the trees. He asked them this gracious question, which is the first of all questions. Where are you? Isn't the first question of Genesis and the first question of John rather alike? Where are you in Genesis? What do you want in John? Not really a question in itself, but a kind of grace, especially when it comes from God, or God in flesh, who is Jesus. Now, Jesus thoughtfully does this with the first followers who are seeking him. Jesus did not come up to them uninvited. He turned and asked this very humane and human and normal inviting question to his first two followers. You see, Jesus does this same invitation in grace with others who sought him throughout the Gospels. If you read on, you'll see that. And Jesus does that same invitation with grace with us, with the same question. I love how John the Baptist pointed them to Jesus, and Jesus pointed them to their hearts. It continues. It says, they said, Rabbi, which means teacher, where are you staying? Their answer is fascinating. They don't say, can you give me something? Can I have some money or maybe some success? They don't ask for a better life. They say, Rabbi, where are you staying? They're asking, where's your dwelling place? Where do you come from? What's your purpose? Can we come to know you? Jesus, we want to know where you're going. We want to know who you are. Can we come be with you? We don't want just something from you. We want to know you. They weren't looking for something from Jesus. They were looking for Jesus. And Jesus responded, come, he replied, and you will see. So they went and saw where he was staying and spent the day with him. It was about the 10th hour, about 4 p.m. in the afternoon. Don't you think we should set our watches, the alarm at 4 p.m. every day and say, thank you, God, for starting the church at 4 p.m. every day, right? Here it is, right? Here it is. Here the church just started, the biggest movement in history. Here it is, 4 p.m. We just go, thank you, Lord. I get to be a part of this. It's amazing. Jesus didn't give them one invitation. He said, come and see, and they spent the day with him. And maybe you're here this morning because you were looking for something. And Jesus' invitation is simple. Come and see. Jesus merely doesn't give us an answer. He gives us himself. Jesus doesn't give us information. He gives us access. He says, come. In other words, spend time with me. Walk with me. See for yourselves. Get to know me. But they didn't just spend the afternoon with him. They stayed. They stayed, they saw. I'm sorry, I take that back. They came, they saw, they stayed, right? If you read further, they stayed with him. Jesus doesn't simply invite us to come see him. He invites you to stay with him. And so going back to this fridge, right? Remember it? We keep looking. We keep coming back. Is it because we're hungry, right? Or maybe just bored? Mostly because we're hungry, right? Yeah. In John 6:35, it says this, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never go hungry, and whoever believes in me will never, it's not bever, that's what happens when you make me do the slides. I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never go hungry, but whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. A teacher of mine once made a fascinating observation. He said this. He said, every time you go to the fridge, you're actually looking for Jesus. I was like, what? But it stuck with me. I'm like, wait a minute. Wait. So every time I go to the refrigerator, I'm actually looking for Jesus. And it's not because he's hiding behind the milk, right? Because it's a reminder. God experienced our bodies to experience hunger. And every time we eat, we experience this temporary satisfaction. But then tomorrow, I'm hungry again, right? We eat, we're satisfied for a while, and then we get hungry. And isn't it interesting that God made us this way? I mean, he could have designed us to not have to eat. But then we'd miss out on ribs, right? And steak, right? And ice cream. And veggie burgers. Maybe not the veggie burgers. Maybe for some of you, but I'd take the ribs. He made us to feel hunger, this deep need for nutrition. Something that fills us. Just like when we sleep, we're tired again. When we achieve something, we want something else. When we receive applause, we need it again. When we buy something new, it eventually becomes old. and we experience pleasure, we're looking for that next experience. And maybe the problem isn't that we're seeking satisfaction. Maybe the problem is that we're trying to satisfy an eternal hunger with temporary things. Temporary things can satisfy a temporary hunger, but only Jesus can satisfy the deepest hunger of the soul. In the Old Testament, in Psalm, King David, he wrote this. He said, "Taste and see that the Lord is good." And then Jesus went even further. He declared himself to be the bread of life, the one who satisfies hunger at the deepest level. If you're in the band, you can work your way up here. Now, I want to be careful here. I want to point out what I'm not saying, all right? When Jesus says, "Come and see," he's not saying, "Come and I'll give you everything you want." And he's not saying, "Come to me and I'll make your problems disappear." If he says, he's not saying, "Come to me and you'll never hurt again." He's not saying, "Come to me and tomorrow you'll wake up and everything will feel better." And he's certainly not saying, "If you're struggling, you must not have enough faith." Because that is not the Jesus we see in Scripture. Some of you have walked into this room this morning carrying things that no one else knows about. Some of you are grieving. Some of you are disappointed. Some of you are praying for something that still has not changed. Some of you are sitting here, and if you're honest, you might feel far from God. Some of you have prayed, "God, where are you?" And you're still waiting for the answer. So I want to be careful with this. Coming to Jesus doesn't mean every hurt immediately goes away. But it does mean something. It means you do not have to go through that hurt alone. Because Jesus never promised us a life without valleys. He promised to walk through the valleys with us. He never promised us a life without storms. He promised to be with us in the storm. He never promised that every prayer would be answered the way we want. He promised that he would never leave us. And sometimes that satisfaction that Jesus gives doesn't feel like everything's okay now. Sometimes the satisfaction Jesus gives us is everything is not okay, but Jesus is with you. And church, that's the difference. Because Jesus satisfies the deepest hunger of your soul doesn't necessarily mean he's going to make your life comfortable. Sometimes he satisfies you with his presence while you're still hurting. You can love Jesus and still grieve. You can trust Jesus and still have questions. You can have faith and still be disappointed. And you can pray and still be waiting and wanting. You can feel distant from God and still reach out for him. Maybe that's where some of you are. You're not looking for another promise that everything is going to get better. You're just wondering, "God, are you still with me?" And the answer of Scripture is yes. Not because your circumstances prove it, not because everything feels good, not because every prayer has been answered. It's because Jesus came to be with us. Because sometimes the greatest evidence that Jesus satisfies our soul isn't that he changes our circumstances. It's that he becomes enough for us in the middle of them. So maybe this is what Jesus has been asking us all morning long. What do you want? What are you seeking? What do you think will satisfy you? And Jesus invites us to discover that what our soul ultimately needs isn't something, it's someone. Jesus invites us into a relationship. He says, "Come and see." He doesn't invite us into a relationship. It's not merely an experience. And then once we come and see, he says, "Stay. Stay with me. Walk with me. Know me." And the next time you're standing in front of the refrigerator, you open it and you look around. Look in. I want something, I just don't know what I want. Maybe pause for a second. And let that question become something deeper. What is my soul really hungry for? What am I really looking for? What am I really seeking? What do I really want? And maybe in that moment, you'll remember the words of Jesus. Come and see, because I am the bread of life, the one our souls have been hungry for all along. Let me pray for us. Jesus, thank you for asking the question, what do you want? Help us be honest about what we're really seeking. When we're looking for satisfaction in things that can never satisfy, turn our hearts back to you. And for those who are hurting, remind them that they are not alone. For those who are waiting, give them strength to trust you. And for those who feel far from you, remind them that you are near. And Jesus, we don't want something from you. We want to know you. So to help today, help us come and see and walk with you and stay with you and discover that you are enough. You are the bread of life, the ones our souls have been hungry for. And we give you our desires, our questions, disappointments, and our hopes. Jesus,